Welcome to the Free Cities Podcast. My name is Timothy Allen, and this is the official podcast of the Free Cities Foundation. Hello, and welcome to this episode number 103 of the Free Cities Podcast. Well, greetings from me, from the very autumnal UK countryside. Yes, I am back from Prague, and wasn't it epic? Were you there? I hope so. A sensational time was definitely had by all. It was also great meeting so many of you in person over the weekend. To be honest, there is nothing else in the whole world like the Liberty in Our Lifetime Conference. It really truly is a unique event. Well done to everyone involved, especially Peter, of course, Susanna, Hinnick, Jan, and let's not forget our special Free Cities influencer who flew all the way from Ohio to be with us. Yes, Natalie, who is also today's guest on the show. It was, of course, election week in the US this week, so I thought we better get some feedback from a local. Natalie is well embedded in the political quagmire as a well-followed Twitter influencer, tweeting about, amongst other things, liberty and freedom. She's one of Elon's favourite libertarians. Do you know what, as well? She even got Javier Milei to retweet a photo of ours from the conference this year. Well done, Nat. Anyway, we recorded this conversation a few days before the election in Prague. So bear in mind, we didn't actually know what the result would be, although, as you will hear, Natalie was pretty confident that Trump was going to win through. It's a very informal chat that we have, touching on money, politics, social media, and freedom, of course. We couldn't not talk about freedom, could we? Hey, and guess what? The podcast is expanding. Yes, that's right. This episode with Natalie will be the first one to appear as a video too. So look out for that video version in the next few days on our Free Cities Foundation YouTube channel. I actually managed to record 21 new interviews during the conference. That's right, three a day for 7 days straight. My voice is somehow intact. My brain and body, however, buzzing from all the amazing inspiration, and you will be privy to that over the next few months. Something else I forgot as well. In the chaos of last week, I forgot to record the Noster comments in the intro for last week's episode. So here they are. Marrakesh says, great guest and episode. Keep Seeking the Truth, that's the self-banked episode, number 98, episode 98. We've got an LFG Noster from Anon. Thanks for the sats, Anon. That was for the Ben Ark episode. Most excellent podcast, this one. Thanks also for the sats. That's the Ben Ark episode as well, episode 101. A thumbs up and 1,000 sats from Anon on our Nico Yilch episode. I hope I said that right. That's an older one. That's episode 96. Another thumbs up and a 500 sats for the Sam Roberts podcast from last week, by the way. Did you see in the news? Unnamed pension scheme makes 3% allocation to Bitcoin. Well done to Sam and his company for pushing forward Bitcoin adoption. Next one is, and I don't know if I'm saying this right, Mindaugas. That's a comment was freedom is inevitable, about the Ben Ark episode again. Also, another one from Mindaugas. I'm going to say it like that. Good morning. Your podcasts are one of the best out there. Thank you. That calm voice. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. Well, I hope you do for this one too. Rebel Money says, let's go. with some flags, especially the, looks like that's the Welsh flag. That's the Ben Ark episode. Matthias says, great conversation. Like many have said before, keep up the good work. Well, thank you for all those, and thank you for all the sats going into our strategic Bitcoin reserve. We're obviously now competing with the US government, or at least we will be at the beginning of next year. So keep those sats rolling in. And no advert for liberty in our lifetime today. So why not, I know, pull up that favourite armchair of yours, put one more log on the fire, and especially this week for Mindaugas, sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Natalie Danilishin. As you can see, I've prepared immensely.
Wow! Hard. Look at all those questions you have for me today. I'm amazed.
I don't need to prepare with you, Natalie.
I know you don't, because we just wing it.
I know what we're going to talk about there. We're probably going to talk about Elon Musk. Yeah.
Oh, we're going to talk about.
You always talk about Elon Musk, but I did think about that. We run the risk of making this a very topical program, and I'll have to put it out immediately, because otherwise it'll all go out of date if we end up. Because as an American, you'll probably want to talk about the election as well. And
oh, good Lord.
Things like that. And I mean, we could talk about ending the Fed if you like, but
we always talk about ending the Fed. I just a quick mention of ending the Fed though. Like,
just in case.
I don't want to get into the nitty gritty of ending the Fed, because we kind of did that last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Did it end?
No.
Shit. What happened?
Man, I don't know. Nobody like worked hard enough. They failed me. My followers failed me. I hope this is recording right now.
It is.
I'm talking to my followers right now. You guys failed me.
All right, answer this then. Are we any closer to ending the Fed?
You know, I actually think, and it's going to circle back to like Elon Musk and Thomas Massie. Thomas Massie actually just introduced a bill. I forget the name of it, but it's to abolish the Federal Reserve. So yeah, we are a little bit closer to ending the Fed. So, I mean, at least in my country, I don't know about your country.
Well, we can't end your Fed, I don't think. But you can end your Fed.
I can end my Fed.
What does that mean realistically then? There's a bill to
end
the Fed.
Getting rid of the central bank.
Yeah, what does that mean though, getting a bill? How far down the line of events is that before the Fed gets ended?
The bill would have to even get accepted and passed and go through Congress and then the Senate and then... then it would have to be ended. It would take like 10 years, probably, with the rate of how Washington, D.C. is getting things done in our country.
Okay. It's going to be a topical one. I'll put it out next week. Yeah. I'll have to, because I want to ask you some questions, right? Because this keeps coming up. Like, bearing in mind, I'm a Brit. I'm not a Yank.
You're British?
Yes.
I couldn't tell.
And therefore, you know, there's only so much I know about America and the American spirit and being American. But what I've noticed, and it is slightly concerning, is that all of a sudden Trump has become the savior of humanity. Like literally, ever since he nearly got shot in the ear, it's like weirdly lots of people who were not even fence sitters are suddenly like, Trump's got to get in. Trump's got to, you know. Are we running the risk here of is everyone thinking this guy's going to save the world, and actually he's not going to save the world?
No politician's going to save the world. Let's just start there. But I think with Trump, a lot of people saw him get shot, stand back up, and pump his fist in the air. I mean, as American, this resonates with me, but it showed courage, it showed fortitude, and it's something you don't see. At the time, I think it was Biden who was still, you know, the Democrat nominee or whatever. And that showed strength. And Biden is, you know, we all know he has dementia. That's obvious. He's, you know, he's up there. He needs to retire. He needs to be in like an assisted living home, not the White House. But I mean, Kamala came through right after that. And she, you know, she was worse than Biden. So here you have Trump actually pushing back, speaking out, and he's getting a lot of strong support from people like Elon Musk. I think when you look at as a Brit, there's a bunch of people backing Donald Trump, and I don't think many news sources know about this, but you know, Robert Kennedy is supporting Trump. Tulsi Gabbard is supporting Trump. We have J.D. Vance running with Trump. We have Elon backing Trump. We have Rogan backing Trump. So we have all these people, you know, throw in their support behind Trump. So when we elect Trump, it's not just getting Trump. You're getting all of these people, you know. And with Kamala, I mean, it's pretty much the P. Diddy list that is supporting her. And I don't want that as an American. But, you know, she's just... If the question is communist with, you know, maybe some hope at freedom, I'm going to go with the hope at freedom, you know. And I know that Donald Trump actually appreciates freedom of speech. He backs Elon about that. So especially with X, I think we're going to just, if Kamala gets in, it's going to be almost like a full communist regime in our country. The way she's talking.
Is it though?
You know, she's
aren't the other side saying if Trump gets in, it's going to be Hitler all the way? And we all know that's crap as well.
But, well, we all know that's crap because they said that in 2016. And he wasn't Hitler when he was in office, was he?
Well, was
in my opinion,
was Biden communist?
I mean, we can't compare Trump and Biden now because it's Kamala.
All right,
Trump.
Kamala then. She's been in office for...
Yeah, she is definitely,
she
has.
Do you honestly think Kamala makes any decisions anyway?
You know what? I do think she's kind of a puppet. And, you know, I don't know how nice it is to bash puppets, but Kamala, you know, she's kind of like Biden in that sense. She's a puppet, but you need somebody pushing back at the regime on the inside, and I think Trump can do that. He's shown that he can do that. He has. In his past administration, he kept firing people over and over again, and that was fantastic. So, yeah.
You mean in the TV program he used to be on? He used to fire a lot of
people. No, that was The Apprentice.
You're not getting them muddled up, are you?
No.
Okay.
When he was in the White House, he was firing people who didn't, like, no toe. He made a lot of hiring decisions, too, that I'm still flabbergasted about. I mean, Bolton, he was a whoremonger. He was horrible. And then if you go on a little bit, though, I mean, there were some things about the Trump administration that still worry me. He didn't pardon Snowden. He didn't pardon Assange at that time. He didn't, free Ross. So I hope that when he comes back, he's learned a bit from the past mistakes. And
well, in his... favor on that side of things. He did talk about this on the Rogan podcast, actually, that when he got in, it was all a bit of a shock, and he had to employ 10,000 people, which is what they have to do when the regime changes. And he said that there weren't enough people, really, and he had to employ XYZ people who were part of the swamp. And yeah. I could understand that. It's not easy to hire 10,000 people in one go.
No. But I mean he'll do better this time, and I think he's already pre-planning way ahead of time with like Rob Kennedy and stuff. You know, as soon as Vivek Ramaswamy, I don't know if you know him.
Yes.
Yeah. I love him. He's actually very cool.
We follow it closely. Everyone outside of America follows it closely.
Because, why do you guys follow American politics?
Because, well, number one, America's got the reserve asset in the world. So no, what true. Happens to you is really important to us. And also, here's my take on it as a freedom lover like yourself, is America's founded on principles of freedom, and you have a constitution embedded in it is freedom, mm-hmm. and we don't. So if you were to go down...
I mean, you guys could. I'm just saying. You could get there.
Possibly, but in the same way that you could end the Fed, it's not going to happen, is it? Nor is, I mean, maybe in 100 years, 50 years.
I will end the Fed.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Point I'm making is, if you go down, if you guys lose freedom-loving qualities and freedom, then that's quite serious because you've got it deep in your core. And I think a lot of people around the world don't actually appreciate that. I've appreciated it a hell of a lot more since they locked us down during COVID, and I suddenly realized, and now I'm online wondering, should I say that? Things like, you know, I really do appreciate that you have a governance model which basically has written down and everyone agrees on and no one dares to change it.
Well, did you see the left wants to change the Constitution?
Sure they do.
It was all in the newspapers and everything. Maybe we have too much freedom of speech. No, we don't.
Yeah, but I don't think that'll happen. I think it's I heard someone the other day.
Of people thought Roe versus Wade being overturned wouldn't happen, and it did. And now they're all blaming it on Trump for some odd reason, which is odd.
Yeah, I suppose, but I think the Constitution is I heard someone the other day describing it as a technology, which is really true. It's a way of getting people to, once people all agree on this thing, it's a hugely powerful force. Yeah. And it's a real thing. It's a thing, you know, it's like this projected force. You want to stop someone saying something on Twitter. And this force is stopping you actually being able to stop them, even though it doesn't exist. It's purely this kind of...
Well, didn't somebody in your country get arrested for a meme?
Lots of people did. One guy, a Scottish comedian, for teaching his dog as a joke to do a Nazi salute.
I remember this, yeah.
Right. Bearing in mind, he was
ridiculous.
A comedian.
Yeah.
He did it to annoy his girlfriend, who did seem quite annoying when she was on the news. And I probably would have done something stupid like that as well, because it's funny. You know.
I think that's one thing people don't appreciate about comedians. I have a friend who's a comedian in the States, and that's Rob Schneider. And he is awesome, but it's like they use their platform to push, I don't want to say unity, but just like pointing out how ridiculous all the censorship is and stuff.
Sorry. Yeah.
You okay? Sorry. Do I need to pat your back?
It's all right. I just went down the wrong way. I've been speaking for 6 hours today. Sorry. Oh. Keep going. I'm listening.
I forgot
dark
where
humor.
I was.
Dark yeah, we humor. Shouldn't be imprisoning people for making other people laugh.
Yeah.
Of course.
But, it's ridiculous.
I mean, in a way, we shouldn't even really need a constitution to enforce that either, because that seems like very common basic knowledge to me. But
I mean, these are all like basic principles, you know, free, loving, basic, natural rights. Just to open your mouth and be able to speak should not have to be words on the paper. You know, it should just be a given. And, you know, you can agree with that speech or you cannot agree with that speech, but the end is that people should have a right to speak. It's kind of like back to the vaccine argument. Like, people have a right to what they inject into their body. And that was my whole stance about pushing back during COVID. And it's like people have a right to say what they want to say. And it's not something that a government can grant you. It's just a natural right. That's
arguably,
how Americans
there's
like
no
you.
Such thing a government can grant you. Because governments are kind of... They grant themselves things, don't they, really? I mean, we all agree that they're a government, I suppose. But
I mean, we pay them. They don't pay us. So they should be there for us. Instead, they're taking more of our freedoms away. And it's like, why?
Well, I have asked that question, why? Have you got an answer to that? I think I know why people...
Power.
Yes. Anything deeper? Like, why do some people want to tell other people what to do and other people not? Like, I don't really care much to tell people what to do, apart from my kids, actually.
Yeah.
Until they're old enough, and then they can do whatever they want. But
my son just turned 18, and now, you're on your own, kiddo.
Yeah.
So.
But why is it that some people, I mean, I'd argue there's two types of people in the world. People that want to tell other people what to do, and people that just want to be left alone.
Yeah.
And they don't care what other people do, as long as it doesn't actually step on them. What makes those other people just want to tell everyone what to do, regardless of what everyone else is doing?
Psycho. You know, that's like make asylums great again. Maybe that's what we need. I mean, hello. That's just people are crazy, and it's
but
like.
Hold a minute. You can't force them into asylums. That would be antithetical to your beliefs.
Yeah, that would be antithetical. But it's something like. We have a major mental health problem in every country, and it's being completely ignored. And they're just letting people, like, when it comes to, like, the trans movement and putting all these people on medications, and maybe I'm like a natural hippie, but all of this is just not that great for the average American, or, you know.
But it's not a minority of people that think this kind of stuff. So you can't sort of lump everyone in this box and say, oh, they're all, you're just insane for thinking this.
If they're not insane, then they're power hungry.
They may be that. Well, or are they? I mean, take the trans issue, which is, it does seem like an unusual thing, mainly because there's not that many trans people around.
No.
It's not something that you would normally talk about much. But anyway.
And it's like, I personally don't care if you want to be trans or not. Just leave me alone. Don't push me into your crazy ideology.
Right. So the trans thing is being talked about, however annoying it is, it's being talked about. Why is it that some people really care strongly about it and everyone else talks about it because it just keeps getting talked about? What is it about the people on the side that you don't like, let's say the asylum side? Why are they talking about it? And because I think they think it's like inclusive, and it's, you know, or, you know, like, these are people who've struggled. We should give them a
it's
leg
just a
up
talking or, point to use against the right. That's really, it's a weapon, and they use it to say, oh, you don't like trans people, well, you're a Nazi. So, and it's not even like I don't like trans people. I just, you know, in my daily life, I overall don't care. You know, I can barely pay my groceries. Why do I care if you want to be a girl or a boy? And I don't know. It's just that they want to get to the children too with all this stuff. I will tell you a story real quick. My three kids went with my mom not too long ago to a cat convention. Right? With actual, like, a cat convention,
only
like real
America.
Cats.
Yeah, that's the America
but,
we love.
You know, as I was walking out the door, a thought came in my head. I said, stay away from the furries. And my daughter was like, what are furries? You know, because I don't know. I don't really introduce my kids to this stuff. I tried to keep them as pure as possible. But when my daughter came back, she said there were people dressed as cats. And I'm like, those are furries. So, yeah, it's just, I try to keep my kids away from the insanity, and that's the best I can do in my daily life.
One of the things I think about it is, I think that, take the furries, for example. Because furries,
I can't believe we're talking about furries.
Furries in the UK are a thing of, they're quite fun. Yeah, I always think of them as quite fun things. And I actually, in my past as a journalist, I reported on furries, and it was kind of also a little pseudo-sexual, but it was just people being furry and having fun, right? The point is, there weren't very many of them. Literally, if you counted up all the furries in the UK, it's probably 0.01% of there. So
500, maybe.
Right, so it's not something that really is an issue. And if you saw a furry, if you saw someone dressed up as a cat in the street, you might point, but then you get on with your day.
Yeah.
Right. That's the funny thing that's going on now. And I would imagine it's to do with the internet and algorithms and politicians and all this kind of stuff, that some of the stuff we talk about is really pointless and useless and really is not important and shouldn't be talked about, apart from if you're a furry and you're talking to someone who, another furry, maybe, I don't know.
Why are furries even a thing? I mean, like, it exploded in the last like year or so.
I don't think it has. It's been around a long time.
At least in America.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
No, but it probably just maybe hit the mainstream.
But like I said, you know, this is insanity rising to the top. We need to make asylums great again.
But it's not necessarily insanity. It's weird, obviously.
There are people identifying as dogs and cats.
Yes.
How is that not insane, Tim?
Because you don't know how much they actually think they're a dog or a cat. Because people play at all kinds of things.
They're walking around like a dog and a cat.
Like a lot of
And they say they're a dog and a cat. And
yeah, but Natalie, a lot of people at home in bedrooms,
they're eating out of dog bowls.
A lot of people in the privacy of their own bedrooms, one of them pretends to be a vampire and the other one a maiden in bed I don't know. A lot of people have strange things that they do.
Okay, that's in the bedroom. But these people are like coming out into the public at conventions where my children are.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I don't mind that. I don't mind that. I think as long as they're not trying to push an ideology on me of furriness, which would be tricky.
Wow.
Wouldn't be very easy to convince me that I was, you know, a furry, because I'm obviously not even that furry anyway.
But kind of like have that werewolf vibe going, but okay.
Do I?
Yeah.
But the point is, they're not really things. They're a bit of a distraction. And I think the internet ramps them up because, and it's almost like people get annoyed because they're talking about it, which makes the algorithm make them angry.
Up. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that does happen a lot on X. But I think people are just getting tired of it overall, in general, in the day-to-day life. It's like with COVID. When you know, everything was happening, I was just trying to stick to myself, but it kept intruding into my private life. Like one time I went to the gas station and a lady yelled at me because I just stepped out of the circle thing. I thought standing in the circle thing was stupid. And she was like, please get in your circle. And she's like wearing a face mask and she's like hyperventilating with her face mask. And But see, this is the thing. It starts either online or like in public schools or something, and then it just invades into your private life. And at some point, you have to just speak out against it. You know, like the furry thing. You know, my kids wanted to go see kitty cats, actual kitty cats, and it wasn't a furry convention either. It was a cat convention.
I was going to say you do get furry conventions.
Yeah, you do get furry conventions, and you know. That was my life interacting with this, whatever this is. And that's where we were, you know? That's why I have to feel like I have to speak out about some of these things.
What, you reckon we should end the furries?
I think...
And it's even...
I think there's a serious mental health crisis in America, okay?
No, I'm not with you on the furries thing.
That's okay. You don't have to be.
But because I think, like I say...
I understand.
They're cute.
You think they're cute, but I think...
Well, they're not out murdering people, and they're not bodily mutilating. Actually...
How do you know a furry hasn't murdered somebody?
Do you know? Well, everyone's murdered somebody, haven't they? Everyone.
I haven't.
Every type of person has murdered someone. I was going to say furries don't mutilate their own bodies because that's a transgender thing, isn't it? But actually, that's not true. There are people who take it to the extreme who have things impregnated under their skin to look like, or they have whiskers put in, real whiskers and
real
stuff.
Real whiskers.
Yeah, but that's the point where it's getting a little bit creepy. It is creepy.
You don't think putting on a furry costume as an adult person and sitting on the floor eating out of a dog bowl isn't creepy?
It's not
creepy.
Come
on, Tim, I'm going to hold you to this.
It's not creepy. It's cute and a bit weird, but I don't care. Especially if it's kind of not affecting me.
Okay.
In all honesty.
Now that we've talked about furries for 20 minutes.
Yeah, let's go back to ending the Fed. Or no, I think something we did talk about then, we were talking about sort of algorithms and social media and...
Oh, yeah, X.
Convincing people. Well, not even X, although I do have my own opinions on X now, because as you know...
Ooh, I want to hear your opinions.
Well, no, because I'm going off X. I'm Twitter. I've really lost interest in it since we've been on... Well, because we're on Nostr now, which is a censorship-resistant version of Twitter. And I know that Twitter's now run by someone who cares about free speech, but he's still run by someone. And as a result, I've watched myself, me personally, just shift to a different platform. Mm. And mainly because a lot of my friends are there. There's a load of Bitcoiners over there, and I like, there's, you know, but also ideologically, it makes sense because it is properly decentralized. And Twitter... What I also noticed about Twitter was, and I don't know whether this is even true necessarily, because everyone's experience on a social platform is different, isn't it? Because the algorithm gets to know you and blah, 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 whatever. But I've noticed it's more concerned about attracting my attention than it used to be. And as a result, it's always giving me things to try and... reel me in, whereas on Nostr, there's no, you can choose whatever algorithm you want. I just have.
Well, did you do the different tabs up at the top? Because there's a for you section and there's.
Yeah. But even when I get for my own people, And also sometimes it pops back over to the other one. I think when you get to the bottom of your own feed, it pops over to the For You feed, because I'm always putting it back when I don't need to. But put it this way, because I used to use Twitter as a news source, and recently I'd noticed that for some reason I'd been just getting in, watching videos on it and stuff. Do you know what I mean? They were obviously making it much more enticing for me.
You know? Have you ever tried using Grok?
Oh, is that the AI on there?
Yeah. If you go to that you type in like the daily headlines, it will shoot it out for you, and that's fantastic.
I like private AIs. I don't like the idea of feeding an AI all this information about me. Like that, we use Venice.ai, which is a secret AI and with no filters on it and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, early on, I got quite nervous of ChatGPT, Grok, all those things, where basically, if you thought they knew you pretty well before AI, this new bout of AI, now they really know you. And yeah. I don't really want to tell them all that stuff. I want to tell something. I still want to use AI because it's really important and really useful for me, but I don't want it to be on one of those centralized platforms where they are basically learning every cell in your body, aren't they? And
that sounds deep.
Well, they are. I don't know why. I mean, obviously on Twitter, it's in order to sell you something, like most of those platforms where you're the product. They have to monetize you somehow.
No, I'm winning.
Well, yeah, but you're in that kind of group of people. You're in the top 0.001% of people that make money on a social network. Yeah. YouTube's the same. Everyone has all these great ideas. Oh, I'm going to be a content creator. And most of them earn 10 cents a month. And then 0.1% of them earn like 1,000. And then 0.001 of them earn 1,000,000 a month. And they're the ones that get all the algorithm loves and gets pushed. And that's what keeps everyone sort of interested. And I think
I'm a very interesting person, though. So I think that. You know, at least among libertarians, it should be celebrated that I'm making money on X, because I'm talking about Ron Paul abolishing the Fed, personal liberties, freedom of speech, all these different things. And, you know, finally, I'm actually making money doing it. So it's like I've cracked the system that libertarians seem to not be able to crack. And just to put it out there, I've made $9,000 this month just from X. Which was fantastic. I needed it. You know, it's like, I'm struggling to, you know, pay my bills and feed my kids, but now I can do it doing something I love, which is talking about liberty and, you know, Free Cities Foundation and all these other things. And I do it on my X account. And I try to push these ideas out there to the general public. And so people can learn about it. And, you know, hopefully we can start inching back and getting more liberty a bit of at a time. And I think it's fantastic that, you know, we have a platform that allows us, because, you know, and any other platform except maybe Nostr, like all the big ones, at least Facebook and stuff, you're getting banned. You're getting silenced. So Twitter really is our last hope. I still call it Twitter.
Yes, I agree, of the centralized platforms, but herein lies the problem. Imagine you on X before Elon. Complete nightmare.
It was. I was banned.
Right.
Okay. Actually, Elon Musk had to unban me. Right. I think we talked about this last time we met up.
But okay. But who? But you don't know who. Point is, someone can ban you from X. No one can ban me from Nostr. I own my own information. I am my own person.
No one can ban you from Nostr yet. That's the thing.
Well, physically, they can't ban me from Nostr. Yeah. Nostr is a protocol.
They can just shut it down.
No, they can't shut it. They can't shut the protocol down. They can. They could. The only thing they could do is create a Twitter that's so popular that everyone's on it. Everyone's on it, and then ban me on that. But I'm still on Nostr and on all the 1,000 other browsers or Twitters that people use. They can always find me. But there is a kind of way to ban people. Yeah. But the point is, if they're banning people from, you know, you, if apps are banning you on Nostr and everyone knows it, no one's going to be on that app if they care about free speech. That's the whole point. You know, where it's same with Twitter. If Elon is still Elon could ban you if he wanted to, you know, but he isn't, because he is banning some people. There are some people that are getting kind of banned on there, aren't there?
Just for violating the thing, but it's very rare now. You know, before on X, on Twitter 1.0, I should just say, people were getting banned weekly, myself included. So now it just feels like a whole lot of freedom has opened up. And, you know, Noster is great and all, but you can't really make the connections on Noster like you can on X.
What do you mean?
At least that I'm aware of. Like, it's easier for me to connect on X. It always has been.
Connect with who? What do you mean?
Like with people like Elon Musk.
Well, yeah, but, one, right, but our version of that was Jack. You can send a, well, especially when it first started, you could DM Jack, and he often answered, but he was often in the
Jack?
Jack Dorsey.
Jack Dorsey, like at the end, no, he never.
No, but on Noster, I mean. Oh. You were talking about not being able to reach out to Elon or whatever, but on Noster, like I say, Elon on Noster is Jack. Jack moved over to Jack Dorsey when he left Twitter. They started a decentralized.
I thought that he is actually still on X, but
no, he went to Blue Sky, which
I thought he just did a tweet not too long ago on X.
Maybe, but it was probably come over to Noster, because he's now kind of, he funds devs on Bitcoin, and he's a he basically lives on Noster.
Yeah, big Bitcoin.
He made a bet on a new decentralized social network while he was at Twitter that they called Blue Sky. Yeah. And he worked on that for a bit, but he just quit about a month ago because
I was about to say something.
Yeah, it's not really decentralized by all accounts. So whereas Noster really is, Noster is a, like Bitcoin, is a kind of protocol that you can join on or not. And the way you interact with the protocol can be anything. Like there's already sort of 8 or 9 versions of Twitter, 8 browsers.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. It would get confusing for the average person, whereas X is...
No, it won't. Because all it is a different bit of software. It's as if all... it would be like this. If I could log on to Twitter with Facebook...
Is it like Roblox?
What's that?
You don't know what Roblox is?
What, the game?
Yeah.
It's nothing like Roblox.
No. Well, that's what it sounds like. You're like, there's like 7 different Twitters on Noster. And I'm like, oh, so Roblox, there's like a million different games you can play. Yes, I've played Roblox with my daughter.
It's like, basically, if I could, it's as if I could, with my Facebook account, I could log on to Twitter and see Twitter. But with all my Facebook friends and with all my connections. So I can...
You're still technically on Twitter.
No, yeah, but on the case of Noster, you're not on Twitter. You're on Noster, which is the protocol.
Yeah, but you're still on Twitter.
No, you're not.
X. No, I should call it X.
X is a closed source network. And it's a big network, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people on it. Noster is an open network. That's all it is. And your connections are on that network. The way you interact with that network can be however you want. I use something called Amethyst, which is like Twitter. But there's another one called Iris. There's another one called Noster. Well, yeah, there's hundreds of them.
How many people are you actually reaching?
I've got like 800 followers on Twitter, but I've only just started on Noster. I've only just started. I think the big accounts are up to about 30,000 or 40,000 now. Very specifically, mainly tech and Bitcoin people at the moment, obviously.
Yeah, but see, that's like a niche.
Niche. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Twitter was a niche.
Correct my horrible English.
Do you remember when Jack said, tweeted out his first tweet? That was a niche then, you know.
Yeah,
the point is...
Yeah, like, but see, this is the thing. Like, today, as like my freedoms are eroding in America and a communist is about to get into office, on my thing in the last, I don't know, 3 weeks, I've been able to reach 170 million people. That was my impressions.
Sure.
So it's like I have that, but it's like Noster isn't like a platform that general people can actually go to. X is here now, and it's, you know, not blocking people and banning people. And if you can get really good and become a content creator, they're paying you too. So
I'm not disagreeing with that at all. I think I'm probably thinking with a lower time preference to you, though. Because in the long term, like... you don't own your data on Twitter. So if in 10 years time and you're up to 2 million followers and your whole livelihood depends on it, and he sells it to the Clintons and you're straight off it.
He will not.
Well, but you don't know what the future holds, do you? Trump, look, imagine that. Trump gets assassinated. Elon gets assassinated.
Would you stop it? Then, no, God, that's horrible. No.
And then you end up, and then
I don't want to think about that.
The Clintons take over Twitter and that's it. You're out.
I want to protect Elon and Trump at all costs. They're the two guys holding America together right now. Really?
Which is relatively concerning that
a billionaire and a former president is holding America together. Yeah,
and that former president has basically had an attempt on his life twice. And Elon walks around. He's got a couple of bodyguards. Yeah, but you know,
he's had a couple of severe threats lately too.
But that is concerning.
It is very concerning, and I worry about Elon a lot because he has a bunch of kids, and I worry about Trump a lot. He has a bunch of kids and grandkids. So, I mean, here are these, like, people trying to go after, like, fathers and grandfathers for trying to make the world a better place, and I don't quite understand it, which brings me back to, you know, people are insane anymore.
What do you think Trump's detractors get wrong about him?
Maybe the fact that he's a Nazi, because that's like what they're screaming about right now. It's like Trump's a Nazi. Like, okay, let's be serious, people. Trump is not Adolf Hitler. He's not sending people to concentration camps or anything. I don't know if you knew, but he just had a rally the other day at Madison Square Garden, and my whole timeline was flooded with like lefty things on Facebook about how comparing the Trump's Madison Square Garden event to the Nazi rally. And I'm like, are you serious right now? Like how low IQ do you have to be to compare the two? Trump's not out here trying to, you know, start wars or anything. He's just trying to get back in office and make the world a little bit better and saving us from Kamala's cackle every hour.
Why do they think he's Nazi, though?
I don't know. I don't understand their mindset. I mean,
come on, you're an intelligent lady. What are they think? Why are they thinking that Trump's a Nazi?
I don't know. I mean, he's a businessman in my mind. That's how I always viewed Trump, a businessman and former president.
Are you sure it's not just some vocal minority of people that think he's
not
a Nazi?
It's not a minority. Trust me. Lose my Twitter feed. But it's just, you know, there are seriously some people who use these terms. Mainstream media does this, at least in America. And they push this idea out there, and they're using it as not as an honest description, but as a weapon. They're trying to fling it against him, and that's how the cookie crumbles.
So you
have to push back against it.
You don't,
or
you can
own it. I think I just had a tweet the other day. I was like, okay, I might be a deplorable Nazi, but at least I'm not a communist. So that was it's actually doing pretty well. But I mean, I don't care. Like, I don't know if you just saw, but Joe Biden just called a bunch of Trump supporters garbage. And it's like, okay, I'm a deplorable garbage Nazi, whatever, you know, so.
But you, I'm pretty sure they would say back to you, but you're calling me a communist and I'm quite obviously not a communist.
Oh no, they're communists. I mean, they're taking our money and trying to seize the means of production.
What about their supporters though? Like, because that's what, when people call Trump a Nazi, the offense you take comes from the fact that you're a Trump supporter, not that you think Trump is an actual Nazi and they got it all wrong, you know. So when you call...
I'm not authoritarian. I'm really snuggly and, like, sweet. Or, you know, I don't want to see people die or anything. I just want to see our country prosper. That to me is a Trump supporter. I am a Trump supporter. So
why isn't the country prospering under the other administration then? What is it that
the Biden-Harris administration?
Yeah.
And let's be clear, it's the Biden-Harris administration, because in America they don't seem to remember that the Harris is actually vice president with Biden right now. Like, she's been running our country for 3.5 years and nothing's really changed. I'm sorry, what was your question again?
What is it that you're ranting about the opposition?
I'm ranting right now.
Saying all you want is a prosperous country. But why? What is it that
I mean, they're taking all of our money and sending it to Ukraine and all these endless proxy wars that we shouldn't even be in. And, you know, the printer just keeps printing and we just keep losing as Americans. I don't know if you understand, like, how bad inflation is. Peter St. Ange is a friend of mine, and I just watched a video he posted the other day, and he was talking about how we've been technically in a recession for 2 years. He just did some, I forget the other guy he did the research with, but yeah, they just printed out, I don't know if it was a paper or not, but about how, yeah, technically we've been in a recession the last 2 years, and that's happened under the Biden and Harris administration. And for me personally, it feels more of like shades of, we've been in a recession, we are heading to a depression, because they just can't stop spending money. You know, I don't even think how legal it is, but they've been paying off people's student loans and stuff in America. And
but I mean, presumably Trump was printing trillions of dollars as well.
Trump was printing trillions, but I don't think a lot of people understand that was just the COVID.
I know, but
during the COVID thing. And it
break he down was, what you just said.
Yeah.
Trump's your savior because he loves freedom, but he spent trillions of dollars locking you in your house. So what is it? Is he?
No, he technically, like, by the end of his term, he was telling people, you know, we just have to start moving on as a country. We have to
Why
get past the COVID.
Why do you think he did
COVID.
It to start with then?
He just did it to start with, I think, because he had horrible advisors like Fauci. Fauci was evil and he should be in jail. And I don't care who disagrees with me, but, you know, we had that. And I think, yeah, Trump just had horrible advisors at that time, pushing him in the wrong direction. Like, this is totalitarianism. We need to get away from it. And during that time, though, he was just trying to get the election, and then he got COVID. And, you know, I think there was one point I recall distinctly, because he got off a plane and he removed his mask. And that, for me, was like, okay, maybe we're finally starting to get over this, you know, COVID hysteria. That was like in 2020 or the end of 2020. But no, it went on and on and on under the Biden administration. I mean, it got to the point where I was severely depressed. And I was just, I have like long-term anxiety just from, you know, all that happened to me during that time, which is a bit personal. I won't go into it, but it's just, I don't know. It's just something I wanted to move on from. And I don't think Trump will make the same mistake twice. Personally, he has Vivek Ramaswamy that he's probably going to put into his administration. He has people like Robert Kennedy. And these are guys who know how evil printing in the Fed is. So he is starting to have good people in his circles. I do know that my friend Thomas Massey just endorsed him. Rep. Thomas Massey, the one who introduced the End the Fed bill. So, yeah, I think it would be okay.
I must admit, Robert Kennedy is... He's my guy. I like that guy.
Robert Kennedy is very nice.
Yeah.
I actually met him once at a Rumpole event.
Do you know what?
That sounds very freedom.
You're going to hate me for saying this, but I think it's a real shame that his voice sounds like it does. Because it affects a lot of people. Like, I can't listen to a podcast with him on because of his voice.
It takes me like 10 minutes to adjust to his voice, but once I do, it's actually kind of soothing. As weird as that may sound, like, I listen to the rhythm. And then it just holds my attention. Because I've sat there and I've sat through a whole speech of his in person.
But I really think it's held back his political career. And it's a real shame because he's got so many good ideas that I endorse. But I think the
vaccines, he's really big on the vaccines.
He's a Bitcoiner. That's pretty much it for me. But everything, because everything,
you are obsessed with Bitcoin.
But everything kind of sprouts from that. Once you, you know, if, yeah. if you're a Bitcoiner, you can probably guess a few other characteristics of someone.
Would you hate me if I told you I was a gold, silver, and Bitcoiner?
No, no. I don't mind. As long as you're a Bitcoiner.
Yeah.
The gold and silver stuff, that's your problem.
Yeah. Okay, we'll leave that with me.
No, I don't mind. I'm, you know, like Bitcoin's going to actually, according to me anyway, will end the Fed. It actually will end the Fed. And
people keep saying that, but I'm afraid they're going to start going after Bitcoin.
They're already going after
Bitcoin. Oh, yeah, they're already going after Bitcoin. So it's like...
But so what? You know, Bitcoin, every time Bitcoin is gone after, what they don't understand is, number one, when they lose, which they do, Bitcoin becomes stronger in the eyes of the public. It's happened. So many organizations have capitulated. I mean, even now, BlackRock, you know, 3 years ago, BlackRock was saying it's rat poison squared or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And now they're saying it's hope for the future. And all right, that's not... you know, do I want BlackRock buying Bitcoin? I don't care. You can't stop them. But the point is, it was capitulation because they had to sort of join the network. That's the only thing you can do. And now it gives another layer of strength to the protocol. More people involved, more people endorsing, more people, you know. And we all know, when we follow this timeline along, we all know that hard money like Bitcoin, as it is adopted more universally, takes away a government's ability to print money, basically, because you can't print it. You can't print Bitcoin. You can only get it. You can only trade it, steal it, get paid in it, or, you know, mine it. There's the only ways
this
you can get it.
This is the thing, though. I think the United States dollar has to completely collapse for something like Bitcoin to win in the end.
Because, I don't.
You know, it's the reserve currency.
True, but I don't think in the beginning that'll happen, actually. I mean, the dollar made it collapse, I think.
The dollar is going to collapse at some point if we keep going.
Yeah, eventually. All fiat currencies do. It's in there. It's built into the way they work. Yeah. But I think the dollar can coexist alongside the Bitcoin very well, and it is now.
Yeah, it's doing it right now.
Yeah, you know, it's losing, you know, you're an idiot if you save in dollars, obviously. You know, dollars are for spending now and spending as quick as you can, because they're like a melting ice cube. They're losing their value over. Yeah. But Bitcoin's not being used as much for that kind of, you know, that kind of usage of money as you know, trading between people. But it's being saved in heavily, and everyone's winning. Whoever's currently, today as we speak, I think, because I mean, the price is pumping, but almost 99% of people are now in credit.
Let's look at my Bitcoin.
I think it's about 73,000. It's around the last all-time high anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if how many people actually do this. I have it on Cash App. Yeah, it's 72,000 as of right now.
So if you, I think the highest in dollar terms it's ever been is 73.5. So that means almost everyone who's ever bought Bitcoin in dollar terms is now in credit. So as a savings technology versus Bitcoin versus the dollar, it's worked amazingly. And of course, if you bought it 4 years ago, you've probably tripled your money. And if you bought it 8 years ago or 12 years ago, you've probably 100x'd your money. This is a great savings technology at the moment for people.
Yeah.
And as a result, a lot of people are using it for that. And sure, and a lot of people, myself included, we use it as money on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
But the dollar will still be there. Even when it's hyperinflating, people will still be using it.
Yeah.
It's very hard to hyperinflate the dollar because it's a global reserve currency, you know. But what Bitcoin will do is end the Fed, because the Fed issues the currency.
Yeah.
And if they can't issue Bitcoin, they can't create it. They can't create Bitcoin. They can only give out the Bitcoin they've already got.
My thing is, though, if the dollar goes into hyperinflation, I really believe they would do a competing like Bitcoin currency.
Yeah, but even then, so a CBDC.
Yeah, CBDC.
Yeah, they will. I mean, they almost certainly will. But once again, Trump. And I think because Robert Kennedy was whispering in his ear, Trump said he'll never release a CBDC.
Yeah, Yeah.
All right, that's 4 years we're safe.
Okay, 4 years. isn't U.S. elections like insane in that sense? It's almost better to have like a, I don't know, king instead of a president, because at least you have maybe 20, 30 years of stability for one ideology. But now it just rotates every 4 years in America.
I know. Well,
it's insanity too. Like every 2 years, like you have 2 years of peace. Like, okay, we don't have an election coming up. And then the insanity starts again, like a year or two before the election even happens.
You know,
I'm going back home November 4th. Our voting is November 5th. So I hope I have a country to go back home to. Because they were already burning ballot boxes and stuff before I got on a plane to come here.
I saw that. That looked a bit unusually, not fake or staged or something. What was that all about?
I don't know. Probably Black Lives Matter coming back again or something. You know.
But why would they burn the ballot box? And because they think they're going to lose.
Probably.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. It's a deep blue area that the ballot boxes were burning, so.
Put it this way, right? And as an outsider looking in, right? If there have been two assassination attempts on Trump, which there have, right? Mm-hmm. And that then what happens on an election day is going to be absolutely insane because
in, I almost wish he was in a safe room.
When I was a kid, if someone tried to assassinate a president or a running president, that was big news. Right?
Yeah, and it wasn't. They buried that after like, what, 2 weeks?
Not even that. It's just, it's gone. It's like it never happened.
Yeah.
It when the scar disappeared off his ear, it went. But the point is, people are doing crazy stuff at the moment. And I think either way.
It's like the insanity is ramped up. And, that's a lot of, I don't know how much mainstream media you watch in America, but.
None.
Good. Keep it that way. Because, you know, it just feeds into all of this insanity, like Trump is a Nazi. There was a MSNBC video, I posted it to my ex account, and they were just like comparing Trump to Hitler, and it stokes. I don't know, like right after he was shot, people were like, how could this happen? Well, it's like after you've just spent the last like 3 years calling Trump Nazi, Hitler, literally evil, and tried to jail him throughout the whole thing. You know, what else do you expect? You're going to have insane people thinking he's like the devil and go after him.
What's your opinion on the fact that the mainstream media isn't the mainstream media anymore? Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I think X is the media now. I think people are really starting to move away and go to freer platforms and look for the news. And that's just fine for me.
But do you think that's, I mean, I doubt you've got your hands on any data, but do you think it's real? Like, does it matter that the mainstream media just.
Well, look at everybody who left the Washington Post. It was like 200,000 subscribers because Jeff Bezos, yeah. He said that he wanted to start bringing in some right-leaning writers, right? And I guess a lot of people didn't like that, and he wouldn't endorse Kamala Harris, so.
Has he not?
No.
So the Washington Post.
He shut down the article that was supposed to go up.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's very interesting. I'm like watching it with intrigue because it's like, are we starting? Are we back? is this freedom again? Because, you know, the Washington Post, it's kind of a lefty rag magazine, but we'll see what happens.
It is a bit nerve-wracking, though, when you think about it. I mean, I don't think I'm a right-winger. I don't think I'm anything, really. I've got most of my beliefs.
I'm like libertarian right.
Yeah.
And I just kind of keep going like more. Right, as I see the Libertarian Party can start to go have their insider fights and stuff. And I adore libertarianism. I like the ideas like of Mises, Rothbard, Hayek. I've always loved these ideas. I grew up on them, basically, my adult life. You know, I've known about Mises since I was like 17. So, I mean, I will always hold true to those core things, but the older I get, the more like the left and libertarians are moving closer or further away from those ideas, whereas the right is moving closer. And actually, Elon Musk has talked about this. You know, my ideas haven't changed. The political parties have.
So are you, do you think on the political spectrum, do you think libertarianism is a kind of left-wing idea?
I don't think it's a left-wing idea. I think people who have entered the party have left-wing ideas. They really do. They're definitely more extreme. Like the current Libertarian Party candidate, he had a tweet not too long ago, and he was basically denouncing Ron Paul. I mean, for me, that's... over for you, buddy. I'm not voting for you. Tweet killed it, you know, because... You know, and then you have, you know, who is it? Trump. He was saying, you know, Ron Paul was right at one point, but he's never like publicly like come after him like Chase from the Libertarian Party has. So as this has gone on throughout my life, I've basically just moved from, I wouldn't even say I was left, more like growing up. My mom is definitely left, but I'm not. So it went from left to libertarian. So I went really from libertarian to right.
So you're basically getting more extreme.
Yes.
You'll be far right. I'm becoming more of
a garbage degenerate Nazi.
No, you will. According to that graph, you'll be far right soon.
Oh, yeah. Extremely far right. What do they call it? Alt-right?
Alt-right.
Alt-right. During COVID, I actually... was doing, anti-COVID tweets at one point, and I was attacked, and they called me Aryan Barbie.
That's quite a good one.
Yeah. I'm like, that's a really good insult. I'm going to own it. So I posted and I said, you know, Aryan Barbie. So now my followers, at least my old followers, they all know the inside joke of Aryan Barbie, but it's like I don't even have like any authoritarian bone in my body. It's just.
How is it then that I'm like you? I'm looking at the political landscape with this kind of look on my
cringe
face. Well, no, just not really understanding how people can misinterpret things so badly, and. I'm not quite. Why? What's going on? Like, was politics always like this, or is this a function of the fact that the internet has given people access to unlimited information, and now the algorithms are funneling all that information into certain directions, and people are just getting all upset about everything? You know, like, what's going on? The world's very political, isn't it?
The world is very political. I think people need to, as they say, go outside and touch grass. Do you know? I don't know. I think we need to get back to more of a family unit type, doing activities and just being with each other and not so much attached to our screens all the time.
Says the lady that makes a living on Twitter. You're not going to...
Well, you know what? Somebody has to pay the bills, okay?
You can't... Your phone is there. You're waiting for... When Elon tweets, you get a little...
I do get a little Elon thing. But I don't know. I actually have my phone here. I don't know why, because I keep getting messages throughout the day for work, for the conference. So I was like, okay...
But talking of Elon again, did I hear this correctly? Trump said that if he gets in, he wants...
Department of Government Efficiency.
Yeah. Is that real or is that an
That's
Elon
real.
Joke? Is it?
No, it's real.
Because as someone pointed out to me earlier,
and I really
today,
hope he puts Rand Paul and Thomas Massie on that.
But isn't creating a new governmental office... to monitor governmental offices.
You know, I was re-watching this thing. I think it was actually Elon Musk's speech. And he said he put into ChatGPT or Grok or one of them.
Probably Grok.
Yeah, probably Grok. But how many government offices are there in America? And they didn't know. Mm. You know, nobody knows how many government agencies we have. I mean, it was like 400 and something. Like... You know, on any given day, you know, we need to do the Malay thing and just
chainsaw.
Yeah, chainsaw, start ripping them off the walls and cut down government. I'm sorry, my stomach is growling. I hope that doesn't get picked up on the microphone.
Well, look, Elon did do that at Twitter, didn't he? He actually did do that.
He fired
it was a very large
80% of the staff.
Yeah.
And so it works better than ever, in my opinion.
And does
Well, yeah. I mean, I can get any Twitter employee to help me out. And they're fantastic.
But yeah, but presumably that's because you're an influencer, though.
Why are we bringing my influencer status into this?
Well, you said you can get hold of anyone at Twitter. I doubt with 10,000 followers, couldn't get.
But if you get X Premium, you can directly message anybody on the staff.
Can you? Well, how do you know?
Well, not Elon, but like you can ask for help from the X Premium staff.
What's X Premium? Is that the £8 a month one, or is it?
I think it's 11.
Oh, that's that. Yeah. That's getting the blue tick. That's not.
Well, that's getting the blue tick and Grok and all the other fun stuff that they have now.
Okay, but yeah,
it's higher than Premium. It's Premium Plus.
Okay, but still, look, take it from me, who's someone who doesn't have hundreds of thousands of followers. My experience of Twitter has got better and worse. It's got better in the fact that the content's much better, in a sense that I, no matter what I did before, they used to feed me stuff that I was, not interested in. Yeah. On the trending page, it was always stuff that was like, that's so obviously not me. That's you trying to tell me something, whereas now Twitter is much more full of things that I actually like. However, it's also gone into overdrive on pushing me things that really like fights and things blowing up. And I don't know whether you get that as well, whenever you go on the kind of, and almost certainly the first couple of times I saw it, I slowed down. I thought, oh my God, because it's quite shocking when you look at it. And then all of a sudden it's like, you want that, don't you? And it's like, no, I don't want it. Stop it.
It's when you go on the video feed, it just refreshes, and I wish they didn't have that, actually. I don't like the consistent refresh of videos because you're just sitting there and then suddenly you're like, why am I watching video after video?
Yeah.
So that's one thing I don't like as much, but I don't know. I enjoy X very much. Hmm. I love it.
Where do you think he's going with it?
I think it's going to be the everything app. They're going to do payments soon. So it's like PayPal on X. But they're working on the video, which is fantastic. They have live features now up, and it's going to be good. They have Grok, which is their own AI system.
Herein lies the problem I have with it over the long term. And I suspect it will become the everything app because it makes business sense as well. Yep. But once again, what we will end up with then is an everything app, which is a closed system controlled by a corporation. And it might be fine while Elon's in charge. It might also not be.
As long as it's controlled by a corporation and not a government organization. And that's the problem you get with so many of these social media places. They become an extension of the state. They become an arm of the state.
Yeah, but how do you know Twitter won't become an extension of the state?
Well, hopefully Elon lives a very long time.
Yeah, but he's not going to, is he? That's the point. That's why I'm into Nostr, because in the long run, it doesn't matter who runs Nostr because no one runs it.
Elon, the CEO of Twitter, X, is Linda.
Just Linda.
I forget her last name.
Let me give her a call. Hi, Linda. It's me. It's Tim from Twitter.
But it can live on after Elon.
For sure, it can. But the question is who and who, in what direction does it go? It is inherently, we're talking
depends
about
on what direction the country goes. Because right now we're at a fork in the road, and I don't think people really understand that. It's either totalitarianism or more freedom.
Is it, though?
Why do you keep saying, is it, though?
Because Natalie,
you're British. You don't understand how horrible it's been the last 4 years.
I am an outsider looking in. And the reason I say it is,
you're looking in through a lens of mainstream media, though.
No, I'm not. I don't watch the mainstream media. But the reason I say it is because you just said something very black and white. It's either freedom or totalitarianism. And you sound like the people that say Trump's a Nazi to me. And they're both, I agree, they're batshit crazy. But why shouldn't I then say, but you're a bit batshit crazy? It's not totalitarianism if Kamala gets in.
It's going to be more wars. It's going to be less freedom. She's going to strip away our freedom of speech. They openly talk about how they want to take away our speech and change the Constitution. Like, it was Hillary and Kamala who were just talking about it. And then they call us garbage humans and everything. So, I mean, that's the road we're going down.
I can live with the garbage humans. But
I don't know. I'm just tired of it all. And that's just the path that's going to go because they're left. They want more authoritarianism. The right does too, but the problem with the left is, in America at least, they've gotten into schools, colleges, they run the media, you know, they run our country at the moment. Whereas on the right, there's like nothing. The left has played the long game. You indoctrinate them at a young age, and then you'll have them as they become adults. Elon calls it the big government machine. There's like a bunch of people like Soros and the Rothschilds and everything. They all want authoritarianism, more power. I mean, there are people. People think the president's running the country. They're not. No, there's like a bunch of people behind him basically running the country and telling the president what to do.
But why do you think they chose the so-called left to be authoritarian as opposed to the right?
I don't know.
Because you can be authoritarian from any...
I mean, if you really think about it, even like the left used to be the, you know, anti-war party, really. Mm-hmm. And it just changed. It shifted. And I can't really tell you why.
I don't know whether this is true. I'm just trying to think it through. But when you get protests against wars, like we have protests against the wars in Iraq, for example, they were left and right people. Is that the same in America? The left isn't the party of war. I think they have wars, and I think there are some sort of bloodthirsty people in the ranks of that party. But what does the average voter think of war? Like, what makes you say that they're the party, you know, like they're kind of the warring party?
Because they keep sending money to fund all these wars around the world. So, I mean, the right, they did it, but to a different degree. I do know when Trump was in office, he was trying to get us out of Afghanistan. But it feels like everything's ramping back up again right before the election. Like, they want a war to start. They want America to get, you know, bombed. Then it's just like...
Why would they want that?
Well, they keep giving money to Ukraine and weapons and everything. And that's just going to piss off Russia at some point.
But I don't understand why they would want... Why would someone in power in America want to get a war going?
Because war is the health of the state. I don't think many people really understand that because... That's where all the money is going. That's where the money is made. War, death, destruction. They love it. And it gives them an excuse to run the money printer. And this is, circle it back to, this is why the Federal Reserve should be abolished. There's a good quote by Ron Paul. He said, it's no coincidence that a century of central banking coincided with a century of war. So this is the big crux of the problem. Excuse me. And that's why they love it. They love power. They love to dominate. They love to get money. And that's how it's all made.
And you think Trump doesn't think like that?
I think Trump is more of a... the thing with Trump is he has grandchildren. And I think he's thinking more about the future and more about liberty and freedom for them. You want a country to have when you have grandchildren, you know, at that point. You want to be able to make it good for them when you go. I think that's one reason why he keeps fighting every day.
Well, we'll know in... What is it now? 2 weeks?
Less than two weeks.
Less than two weeks.
Next week, I think.
I better put this episode out next week then, because it will probably coincide with the election. It'll be interesting. Have you got any predictions?
I will put down that I hope Trump wins.
Someone was telling me, like the guy I was interviewing before you, who basically runs a load of libertarian villages all around the world. He's a really cool guy, really cool project as well. You'll hear him at the conference. He was saying that no matter who wins, there will be pissed off libertarians.
Because libertarians are perpetually pissed off but do nothing about it.
Or freedom lovers then.
And you can freedom quote lovers. Me on that. Yeah.
Freedom lovers. If Kamala gets in, everyone's going to be rushing to sort of get away from America. Oops, to get away from America because it's so terrible. If Trump wins, there's going to be riots everywhere. Oh, and people are going to be wanting to get away because of all that as well. So,
I mean, yeah.
I mean, there will be riots if Trump wins, won't there? It'll be, it's unavoidable, I don't think. It doesn't really matter what anyone says. People have got into the habit of just, it's like, you know, throwing the toys out the pram, isn't it? When you don't win, you kick up a stink, and that involves these days setting fire to things and
burning and looting and
all that stuff,
all that jazz. You know, for me, it's going to be horrible either way. Whoever wins, somebody's going to be pissed off, and we're just going to have to deal with it, I guess, at that point. Thankfully, I live in a small area that's kind of like surrounded by country, so I don't live in the main city, but I will say you might want to stay out of cities for the next 2 weeks in America. Don't go visiting like Washington, D.C. or anything. It's gonna be insane. But I hopefully Americans are tired enough. They don't feel like going and rioting and destroying things, you know. But you have that in our culture. In our country.
Are you in the...
I don't even want to say culture.
Are you in the end of... Are you in the end of an empire
I am.
Idea?
I am. I really am. Because, well, how long do empires last? 200 and some odd years, give or take.
Oh, longer. Certain empires have lasted almost 1,000, haven't they?
Yeah. But the average lifespan of any country is like 200 years.
Well, it depends what you mean by...
Yeah, but we're getting close to that. America's getting pretty old. We're no longer like the baby country anymore.
How old is the UK? My house is 400 years old, so I've been around quite a long time.
That's just bragging right now. My house is 400 years old. It's older than your country.
I don't think what you're saying is correct, but...
Because you guys live in a country that was established a gazillion years ago. Yes. You know, we live in America where our country was established 200 years ago, give or take. If we don't talk about like the ancient people that were there before us who had all the mound builders, I don't know if you've ever heard about the mound builders in America.
No, go on, tell me.
Oh, it's very fascinating, actually. Across the country, there's these ancient mounds where it wasn't even like Native Americans. It was the Hopewell culture.
Hopewell. Never heard of that one before.
Wow.
Hopewell.
Yeah. There's a couple of different ones, but they're very ancient, and they used to build mounds. One of the most famous ones is Serpent Mound. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Is it in the shape of a serpent?
It's in the shape of a serpent. I visited it 7 years ago. I visited the Serpent Mound, and it's supposed to be a fertility mound, and I wasn't trying to get pregnant, but I have a third child, and it happened that month, which was really creepy. There was an eclipse also that month, and it was really creepy that I somehow got pregnant with this perfect child who's actually really brilliant. She got my dimple. She's a sweetheart, and I adore her so much, but it worked.
I did actually go down a very strange rabbit hole recently.
Oh, no.
To do with lost cultures. And can I remember the name of this one? It was all across America.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was buried under mud.
We're probably talking about the same thing here.
No, this is different though, because it was really interesting actually. I didn't give it enough time because
well, they're like mounds.
No, this is different. This is like, you know how in America you get a lot of really elaborate buildings?
Oh yeah.
Not you know, like most of America. Are we
talking about Göbekli Tepe?
No.
Because that was buried.
I'll need to look this one up. No. We're talking about North America. So, and the fact that most of North America is basically quite new looking. But you get all these very old buildings.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
What's it called?
I don't even know what it's talked about. But they're like, there's like this whole area of people who think that America's older than what they really say.
Yeah, but what does that mean? As in,
I don't know.
Pre what? Because obviously there were people living in America before the US.
Yeah,
and before them, probably. I mean, I would imagine.
But if you look at our buildings and stuff, there are some astonishing buildings that you're like, wow, they made that 800 years ago with like 100 people, So I think there could have been stuff before. There's this like whole culture in America where people think that there was like an ancient civilization before the Americans actually came to start building, like a Mayan type civilization.
Yeah, that's a relatively, that's a worldwide phenomenon, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there is.
And it's like somehow we all forgot this knowledge that these people were here before us and we just built on top of them.
Yeah. I mean, you can see certain similarities between architectural stuff, like the pyramid and the topped off pyramid is a very common structure to find all over the world, even in places you wouldn't expect. Southeast Asia, I've seen them, Someone somewhere was building the same structure.
Pyramids everywhere.
Right, exactly. I mean,
and the lines, I forget what they're called.
Ley lines.
Ley lines and stuff. And it's very fascinating if you think about it.
We're the wrong people to talk about this, though, because we really don't know what we're talking about.
We don't know what we're talking about. I am an expert in ancient aliens.
If you want to learn about this stuff, go on to Joe Rogan's podcast.
Joe Rogan's podcast.
And listen to someone who actually knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I'm not high enough to talk about this subject.
Let's get back to stuff we know about, and not just things I can't remember. What should we talk about? How about... because we've got, what time have you got to go to?
I was going to leave in like 10.
Okay, we'll round it up. How should we round this up?
Hope.
Did you say?
Yeah.
Hope.
We can talk about hope.
Okay.
I was just throwing that out there. I didn't know you were just like grasping, but okay.
No, I was genuinely grasping at straws. I came here with no notes, Natalie. And like,
of all people, you have no notes because I can just go on and on and on probably, but.
Well, no, I mean, I don't have to. There's nothing I don't need to call you up and say, is there anything you really want to talk about? Because,
we'll talk about anything.
Yeah, but.
Like aliens.
Yeah, we can talk about mounds if you want, but it's a complete load of bullshit.
I've seen the mounds, okay?
Yeah.
And they're not mine.
Well, how do you want to talk about hope then? Because that does...
Well, I think a good way to talk about this is, the hope I see within the Free Cities Foundation. And I see so many new projects growing and expanding. That's one thing that gives me a lot of hope. Another thing that gives me a lot of hope is that, Trump might win. And before I didn't think he would. At least not about 6 months ago, but now I'm starting to see that Trump might win and we won't have to hear Kamala's cackle for 4 years, which would be devastating to my eardrums. Have you ever heard her laugh?
Yes.
It's disappointing. Anyway.
She's really, and this is going to sound horrible to say about a human being, but she's a really disappointing human being to be that powerful, isn't she?
I am a woman. And I am an actual woman.
As a woman.
I'm very disappointed with the women that they have tried to put in presidency. I mean, come on, Hillary and Kamala, this is not the best we can do as women. And I'm not even a feminist at all. I'm not even close to a feminist. But
Hillary, at least, though, was pretty gutsy. She seemed like she was a bit of a gutsy chick or whatever, but
Hillary was just insane.
She wasn't like, a very nice person.
She was a warmonger. Well, I have a few words about Hillary, and they start with a C. So, and that's a few words that start with a C. So
just say the same word over and over again.
Though. Yeah.
But I'm disappointed that, you know, like, love him or hate him, Trump's pretty, he's obviously quite intelligent as well. After listening to him on
Rogan, he is very intelligent.
He knows a lot of stuff about a lot of things, which I like, but he's also incredibly funny and very engaging. And Kamala doesn't make me laugh. She never really says anything interesting.
No, how does she talk though? It's like, what's a good way to do it? I can't even talk like her because it's so like low IQ. And she'll be like, and this really matters because this matters. And yeah, that's Kamala talking. Like, it's mind-numbingly stupid. Like, I swear to God, my IQ just lowers. It plummets. When I listen to her open her mouth, it's...
It is.
Yeah. And then clap. I'm sorry.
No, it is a bit...
This isn't a strong woman. This isn't a strong woman I want in office representing me.
It's disappointing that system has thrown up. Even, you could argue, Trump as well. Like, the fact that when you're looking at... In fact, actually... You didn't do this. I saw the best meme the other day.
You
the
sure it wasn't me?
No, you should have done it because it's the kind of way your mind thinks. But
I'm scared now.
It was no. It was very, very good. It was a picture of it was Trump on Rogan, and underneath it, the comment was, "If you'd have told me 15 years ago that." The guy who presents The Apprentice talking to the guy who presents Fear Factor would have been the most important dialogue of the I would never have believed you. And
I actually made a tweet along those lines. Yeah,
go on.
I did. I don't remember exactly word for word, but I was like, yeah, that was insane.
But that is insane when you think about it.
Because like it was a very important podcast. It has millions of views. Last I checked, it was like 30 million.
I know.
You know, and it's been like a day or two since I last checked. And did you see even YouTube tried to take down that video or hide it?
Well, they hid it.
You couldn't search it.
Search.
I know. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. So, it gives me hope though that there's a platform like Twitter out there where you can immediately get the information out and say, hey, they're censoring this video. And then YouTube had to change it because they look tyrannical. I mean, here's a sitting president and you're not letting his podcast interviews get out there. That's bad. You know,
that's not that bad. They like a year ago, they banned him. They banned the actual president.
They banned Trump on X. They banned the president.
But then, obviously the argument that that's okay is that it is a private company and they can do what they want. And it's true.
Well, it's a private company now. And, you know, he's back on X.
Yeah.
And he has posted a few tweets and stuff, which is nice. But he's mostly on his platform now.
I'll tell you what, then, since we're talking about hope, I've been thinking about in Three Cities, especially because I'm formulating kind of my ideas about Three Cities still. I know it's been 2 years.
We're 2 years deep.
But the thing is,
we're about the same though. I came into the Three Cities movement about 2 years ago.
Right.
Two and a half, really.
I've got to give a speech at a Bitcoin conference actually next month about Three Cities. So, and I like to change up my speeches each time I do them.
Mm-hmm.
And this time I've realized what the most important thing that we have to grok in the Free Cities movement. Because something, and I've picked this one up recently from a few of the conversations I've had on this podcast, but as a Bitcoiner, for example, with Bitcoin, you kind of get this fortress, this impenetrable fortress mm-hmm. in the digital realm. Because you basically can't attack it with violence and get it.
Yeah.
But in the physical realm, that threat is still there. And this is the Achilles heel of any Free Cities idea is that wherever you try to find freedom in the real world, in the physical world, there's always the possibility that the bigger bully will come and take it away from you, right? And how do we deal with that? That's the thing. So how do we deal with that?
One of my favorite quotes, actually of all time, and I sit here and think about it sometimes, is find your own freedom in an unfree world.
Yes, freedom and in an unfree world.
It's that's what book. You need to do. You need to start searching for it. And the best place to do it is, you know, for me, I found the Free Cities Foundation. And I also found other free-loving organizations over the years, and I've attached myself to them. Like Elon Musk, he's free-loving. I attached it to X. And that these are things that, you know, shockingly, I've come to love and just appreciate over the years, just being within these things. And it humbles me a bit, because here's people actually out here trying to apply libertarian principles to the real world. You know, that's what Elon's trying to do with X. That's what the Free Cities Foundation is trying to do with all these free cities popping up. And, you know, anybody who supports it, then it's like, well, okay, I want to support that person too. So it begins to open up a connection network of free loving people. And you have that, and you feel less insane, because here you have all these tyrants wanting to control you, but then you can go to your network and be like, oh yeah, you want freedom. That's nice. So that gives me hope. That does.
Yeah. I think my lesson, the lesson I've learned, is that freedom, I agree, finding your own freedom in an unfree world is a great way to put it. But I think my lesson was that freedom itself is a fragile and ongoing process.
Yeah.
And as a result, when you sort of like, when you look at free cities and you approach them with that attitude, you realize in order to keep a free city and not have it taken,
you have to fight.
Well, no, not necessarily. You have to create like a fortress. Mm-hmm. And I, so far, and Vera helped me with this one. Vera, you know, our chief economist, mm-hmm. We've kind of said, or she said, really, and I agreed with her.
You were just sitting there listening, yeah.
But I was already thinking this, that there are three things that you need to work with. Number one is the legal side. So you can create a fortress with legality.
Yeah.
However, in Honduras, we're looking at Prospera.
It's being taken away.
Okay, so.
I mean, it was in the Constitution over there, and they stripped it out of the Constitution.
Okay.
And see, this is another thing I was talking about with the United States Constitution. They want to change the Constitution. They want to strip away some of your freedom of speech.
But I mean, but it is one of the tactics we have.
Legality.
Another one was the economics of it. You create a free city that is so profitable, so good for everyone, that everyone, no one wants to shut it down because it's doing so well, which, I mean, you know, this does happen. You know, special economic zones are often the best places to live if you can live near them in a country. And, you know, the ZAs in Honduras are showing this. If they're not getting shut down, they're showing this. And the third is on the ideological grounds. You create an ideology that's so good that people don't want to shut them down, like the freedom. And these are the three sort of prongs of, well, it's not even an attack. These are what creates the rigidity to the foundation of your free city, because you'll never, and you have to keep tending to it. It's like a fire that's burning.
It's like a garden. You have to make sure your garden grows, right? And this is the thing with free cities. You have to make sure it keeps growing.
Yeah, but we'll never shake off the threat of the bigger bully coming in.
No, not unless we see a complete collapse of government around the world.
Yeah, but it'll come back.
It'll come back because it always does, because, you know, people want to be ruled. That's, you know, not me personally. I would rather have complete freedom. But this is the thing. People, they desire leaders. I think it's ingrained in our DNA. I think this is one reason why, like, I support, like, Elon Musk so much, because he wants to make civilization multi-planetary. And that's what we need, because we need options to get off this planet. You know, find your own planet where people just want to be left alone. That would be fantastic. It won't happen in my lifetime, but I hope generations to come, like my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren.
Well, that is a historical precedent, isn't it, when you think about it, that people look for frontiers.
Yeah.
That's always
we need
happened.
To find a new frontier.
Yeah.
We really do.
Unfortunately, I think you're probably right there, but there are very few land frontiers left. and what's left is so small and ridiculous.
Yeah.
Liberland, places like that. And, you know, there's one in the Sahara Desert. I think it's a bit of unclaimed land there. but yeah, historically, people always went off and searched for the frontier. I mean, hence America. Mm-hmm. But maybe we'll have some more frontiers on the Earth again at some point.
It's possible.
Well, especially if the dollar collapses, like you say, that will open up a bunch of frontiers. Because, you know, the only reason we don't have frontiers anymore is because states are so large and all-encompassing. And, you know, I think me personally, I'd love to see a world of small jurisdictions.
Yeah, pick your jurisdiction. I mean, it should be fairly easy. Mm. And then figure out where you want to live. But I don't know. I think America's too big, but then I see things happening in Europe. I'm like, maybe it's a good thing America's too big. So it's like you can't really.
How do you mean? How so? Things happening in Europe? And because Europe's a conglomeration of countries.
Yeah.
You know, well, the EU is.
Oh, yeah. It's a bunch of different countries, but, you know, it's a bunch of small little countries. I mean, think of American Europe, it breaking up into smaller different countries, would it be better off or worse off? It could open the option to free cities, jurisdictions as well. So, I mean, that's an option we could do. But, I mean, I think there would have to be a total collapse of government for it to be achieved.
Well, you get hints that Texas would like to
succeed.
Yeah, secede, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's succeeding, I think, already.
I think it is. Well, a lot of people are leaving California for, you know, that in a sense is a soft secession.
Mm.
So.
But I don't know the answer to that one. I quite like America the way it is, but I don't,
You don't even live there.
No, I don't. And
I mean, America as a country, it's beautiful. But America is, as a divided nation because of politics. If Americans stopped focusing on politics so much, I would love it there. But the problem is they do focus on politics and it makes people unhinged and do insane things. So I guess pick your poison type thing.
I don't want to end on a bad note, a depressing note. Give me one more reason to be hopeful again and then we'll go.
Find your own freedom in an unfree world. We'll end with that quote because that's what you need to do right now in any country you're in.
How do you find your own freedom then?
I guess I find it in my children. I look to them and I just want a better world for them. And it makes me wake up and be able to fight every day to find freedom for their future.
Hallelujah to that, Natalie. Thank you for coming all this way just for this interview.
Wow. I appreciate it. It was like 3,000 miles. Yes. Oh my gosh, it was insane.
It was so nice of you to agree to come so far for us. And we appreciate you. And
I appreciate you guys.
I'll see you probably tomorrow.
Sounds good.
All right.
Take care.